This is the Cypher Podcast, where we'll be diving into various gaming cultures, checking out some games, talking to some gamers about their gaming experiences. Cypher, Africa's ultimate gaming podcast.
Hey, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, hello, can you hear me?
Ah, yes, I can hear you. Hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. What's up?
Well, how are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Okay, so normally what I do is I try to make it more seem more like a conversation, but yeah, I'll be asking a few questions here and there, right? If that's okay with you, right?
Okay, that's cool. Okay.
Okay, so, well, I have to ask, who is Eugene?
Eugene is a... Wait, by that you're asking about career? I'm just generally, you know,
generally, like a basic description of yourself.
Nerd, kind of, sort of.
We're all nerds.
Yes, like all nerds, I love my video games, and by day I am a TV broadcast journalist. By the rest of the day, I deal in esports as the head of esports for GS Studios here in Kenya. And I'm also a mental health advocate in Kenya.
Okay, so you said you deal mostly in, you deal in esports, like correspondent for Kenya, right?
Sorry, I kind of lost you there.
That you're the esports correspondent for Kenya, right?
I am the head of esports for GUS Studios. It's a video game publisher in Kenya.
At GUS Studios, huh?
Yes.
Oh, okay. At GUS Studios. What games have you published so far?
First title. Yeah, the first title is Usoni. It's a game about a post-apocalyptic version of the world. Where in this case, the world, due to climate change, has become, let's just say, completely shit. The world went to crap entirely. And the irony of this one is that people, the rest of the world, have now had to migrate to Africa, which is the only place that was left untouched and well-preserved. It's a post-apocalyptic story that went live in 2020 last year.
Oh.
Part two is in development still right now.
Okay, I look forward to it. Oh, okay. So you developed a post-apocalyptic game about climate change.
Yes.
That's good. That's a very powerful message to send.
I'll send you the link to one of the trailers later. But okay. that's essentially the gist of the game.
Okay. So now, a bit of backstory. What got you into gaming?
The story, honestly, like I said at the beginning, my main job is a TV broadcast journalist. That means I deal with news mostly. I work in more for these foreign press agencies, like, you know, the BBC, the CCTV Africa, the only, basically foreign press. So last year I had the rather fortune or misfortune of having to notice COVID coming this way first. That by that time it had not touched Africa, but I could tell where it was headed. And so by that time, I started to prepare for the idea of, you know, being indoors for a while. And I love games. I love PC games, but I love mostly on PC, I do story mode games. But on mobile, that's where I get, you know, completely competitive. Even at work, we have an entire floor of one of the newsrooms where we're all on Call of Duty Mobile. We went live on it when it went, you know, it's completely competitive. That's how mostly the East African communities groups started. So when I noticed that, COVID had the intention of putting us indoors for a while, I decided, you know what, let me just put a few of the people I know who we play with, we'll be doing it together, you know, in a WhatsApp group. Eventually, I didn't even have to ask people to join this group because word of mouth did its own thing. Word of mouth did its own thing. And now from the first Call of Duty group that was meant for Kenya, I'm now facing 7 Call of Duty groups, including Uganda and Tanzania now. So that is in the course of only 1 year since March 2020. Yeah. That's literally how I got into esports. Before that, I had no involvement.
That's a very forward thinking. Most of us were busy. In my case, most of us were still busy thinking of, oh my God, my job is not that well. When COVID came, we just have to adapt to what do we do? Okay, online games. Let us talk to some people online.
Yeah, this COVID has been like an unreal movie that played out in front of our eyes, and nobody was really, you know, believing that this is actually happening. So it was that post-apocalyptic movie, the irony of things that was playing out in front of our own eyes. Like I genuinely can't even believe last year happened, honestly.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I mean, we all heard COVID was coming way back in, 2019, November?
It was December, and nobody cared.
This case have a virus? No problem. It'll be like a SARS thing.
Exactly.
January, February, March, lockdown, first case.
Hey, man, first case. And I'll never forget when we finally reported the first case, like foreign press, that the first case has landed in Egypt. I think every African country was now shitting their pants. Then, every country starts reporting one case at a time.
People had not taken it seriously because it was way back in China or in America. But when it hit.
Yeah, when it hit, yeah.
To hell.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. So that just means that you and your friends just have a group dedicated to playing that competitively on COD Warzone, right?
No. Call of Duty Mobile.
Mobile.
Okay. When I went into the esports business, I decided to concentrate more on mobile because on a business, return on investment perspective, mobile has a likelier chance of giving returns to or even attracting more sponsors. It can attract more sponsors because there's more to give to the sponsors in Call of Duty Mobile. I say this because we know the price of a console on this side of the continent is not exactly cheap. While they were buying the PS5, for example, in the States, scalpers bought all of the PS5s and then sold them like for double the price you get, which double the price on this side of the continent is completely unbearable. And to build your own PC, that is insane. It needs a huge budget or even getting a decent gaming laptop. Now, for a smartphone, literally everyone has a smartphone. As in, you'd rarely find someone whose phone literally does not have color on it. And if it has color, it can probably play the games. And you'll notice that most of these big game developers, Activision, all the rest, even DICE, are converting their games to mobile. Call of Duty has gone to mobile. Battlefield is coming to mobile. Apex Legends coming to mobile, right? Mm. So even we find GTA is on Play Store for mobile, right? So
I saw GTA sometime back.
Yeah, they're actually all of them. The first 4 GTAs are on Play Store. All of them. Liberty City, San Andreas.
I'd have liked to play San Andreas, but the only issue I have so far with mine is it's space. Space-wise. SD card has lots of space.
Yeah.
Internal storage, it's always asking me, my friend, free up some space.
Yeah. You have to prioritize which game you like more.
And the problem is, I would want to go for San Andreas more, but the problem is most of the apps don't allow me to put the storage the data on the SD card. Mine is Xiaomi Redmi 7, so a bit of issues there regarding that. But other than that,
I also game on the Xiaomi, but the Mi Note 10 Plus. Mi Note 10 Pro, rather.
Yeah, that's a powerful phone. It's I think more towards flag. It's more towards the flagship.
Yeah, it's a flagship last year.
Snapdragon, what is it? Snapdragon 8? 7?
No, I think 835 or 7 something. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah,
one of those two. Okay. Well, that's true, because in terms of gaming, mobile is more easy to access people. I mean, everyone has a smartphone.
Exactly.
Why not just put a game on mobile platform and have them play it? You can charge a few microtransactions here and there. No one will complain. We've already gotten used to that, thanks to Clash of Clans and whatnot. So, Yeah.
Like I said, mobile for me made sense on a business perspective. It made it easier to get sponsors for this. Like on the African side, getting sponsors for esports is an uphill battle, right? But for mobile, it made things a lot easier because, you know, making a pitch, for example, like to get this game to run, people need to buy data or to be on steady Wi-Fi. So even getting a huge telecoms company to come on board for at least a tournament or three, it makes sense on a business model. I even managed to get a real estate agency to sponsor a tournament here and there. All because he listened to this crazy pitch. The real estate agency had built student hostels. Now they housed about 3,000 students in these hostels, and they had like gaming lounges in these hostels, like top luxury tier hostel students residences here. So the pitch was, you know, you have 3,000 guys and like 7 apartments. What if these apartments could be kept engaged now and then with tournaments here and there that's sponsored by the owners themselves? And surprisingly, they took it up, you know, which made sense. Like literally any business could somehow translate to esports and mostly mobile, because the audience, I'll say this as a guarantee, is much bigger on this side than for mobile than it is for consoles and PS. So yeah, all right. On a business side, mobile made sense. That's why I stuck there.
That does make sense, because genuinely, no, who doesn't have a smartphone?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said something about approaching telecom companies in regards to this proposal. Yes. I just wanted to ask a quick question. How good is the internet there? Because on my side, well, I have, I'm in this group called the COD Mobile Uganda community, and most of the guys there are either complaining about the network going up and down, left and right, or not working at all. So I just wanted to ask, because I know in East Africa so far, our network is, well, if you compare it with the one in South Africa, is not that good for gaming wise. So
yeah,
how does it, like the telecom companies, were they like, did they give you like a sort of discount or like special, let's just say, organize a special server for you guys to game, like all together? Or do you have something set up for yourself?
No, they don't. It's more of everyone does their own thing. If you live in, I'll speak for Kenya mostly. For Kenya, the internet is decent. It's decent. Mm. But it also depends on where you live. If you live in the countryside and you're away from the urban areas, of course, your internet will tend to be shit. But if you live in Nairobi, it's decent. It works quite well. The 4G is actually 4G, and you can get a proper speed out of it. And some people have the luxury of having fiber optic right to the houses. And yeah, it's affordable. It's affordable here. There's so many offers for internet. I think that here in Kenya, internet is really, data is really cheap. It's super cheap. You can get up to 5 gig for only like 20 shillings. Man, it's not.
Yeah. When I was there, yeah, I was actually surprised that it was cheaper than us here, because here, internet is expensive, mismarketed, and at the end of the day, you just like feel like you're ripped off at the end. Like, yeah, But I was actually surprised that you guys have at least decent. Everyone has their own complaints about the internet.
Yeah, you know, we may have our own complaints about the internet, but I think the only complaint we all share, even on the East African side and the African side as a whole, is the server issues. Internet, yeah. Fine, it's there and then. You can work your way around the internet if you live in an urban area, because there's any telecoms company in any major city in Africa that doesn't provide, you know, proper fiber optic cable, Wi-Fi or stuff like that. But the server problems for different games, now that is one I don't know how we'll ever get around, because the one thing as much, you know, we even had a conversation with Activision leading up to this year. That was even at the beginning of this year. A conversation with Activision where we'd ask them to, you know, about the server issue while we were getting the licensing to use Call of Duty Mobile. So while they granted the license, we tried to nudge the conversation about servers and even offered space on our server farms to help them host, you know, for Call of Duty Mobile. They said no, and there was no real good reason why. It's not like they've not done that kind of a deal before with other, you know, startups. But I have no idea what their thing with Africa not placing servers in Africa is. Like, no game developer wants to touch the continent in terms of servers, and it's baffling. Literally, you will find an entire esports competition highlighting every continent, but literally pretending Africa does not exist on the map. It's at this point, it's kind of shameful, and I don't think that's a conversation we need to be having at this point, regardless of the number of petitions that have been signed on Reddit. People filling petitions left, right, and center. They just go in ignored. It completely baffles me.
I think maybe what they see is they feel either we're not like really serious about what we want to do or what we're saying we're doing, or at the end of the day, let's not talk to them and just do our own thing. Because I remember, was it 2 years back, 2-3 years back? Someone said something on 1UP about a Battlefield server finally being brought closer to Kenya or something like that. Battlefield 4. There's a Battlefield server brought together so guys could just go and hop right in, play with the guys in Kenya, and that was it.
That actually happened?
I'm not really sure about my facts, but I just remember that conversation going on WhatsApp.
I've never heard about it. I think that's the first I'm hearing of it. Would have been cool if that happened. Would have been really cool if that happened. Because I don't know. Either if I was completely underground, but I never heard about it. A Battlefield server on this side.
Okay. Either. So now what I wanted to ask is experience. Setting up gaming events, esports events.
It is hell. I know that's not the answer you expect.
Oh, no. That's it's okay, because I kind of understand.
If you're in the Ugandan community group, then we're definitely in the same group, because I'm also in that one as well. And from first hand, you can tell those groups are usually chaotic. I love dealing with people, but my God, I hate people. Then just it's kind of difficult. It's difficult, but it's fun at the same time. Because, you know, you have to manage hundreds of people at the same time in setting up one, especially during this period of COVID, it made it so much harder. You know, at least in a live event, like a LAN party or whatever, an actual live event, you can manage a crowd if they're looking at you, and you can tell this person, yo, concentrate, we need to do this, we need to get this done, we need to move on to the next step. At a live event, it's manageable. But online, you're trying to manage someone who's literally thousands of kilometers from you. Ay, man, it's... yeah. Where sometimes after each tournament, let's not even go to the tournament itself, after registration alone, after getting done with registration alone, I think that usually just knocks me out. As in the minute I close registration like this, I just go and sleep. I sleep heavily, and I'm not up until it's usually work. I won't lie, it's work. And this online gaming type thing, this online setup that where you have to set every tournament online, no physical events, has been a proper test. It's been a proper test, I'll say that, because it's tested how bad things can get. So I literally only see things going up from here.
That's very good. At the very least, there's hope.
Yeah. Because finally in December, we're going to have one of our first live events at Nairobi Comic Con.
Nikon.
Yeah, Nikon itself. Yeah, I usually try to say it in full to people because people relate to the name Comic Con. But yeah, Nikon itself. At Nikon, the first live event will be there. And man, I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't been to a live event since literally the first lockdown. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
Where is it going to be held? This time?
I have no idea yet. The organizers haven't told me. I just managed to start. I just only got the feedback on the approval to do Call of Duty Mobile this time. I zoned out the minute I heard they chose COD Mobile as the title to use for the main tournament, and I was just super pumped. I think I zoned out through the rest of the meeting. So I'm just looking forward to that. Yeah, I mean, I was just excited. As in, you know that moment in a game when you've been hit by a flashbang and all you can hear is that white noise? I think that was pretty much it. Yeah.
For starters, Kongs, you managed to get a step forward. But yeah, well, setting up events is chaos, but hopefully at least the lessons we've learned in COVID will show us which way is up.
Yes. So I was really looking forward to like maybe having, you know, teams from Uganda or TZ, but the kind of issue is now, you know, the cost of bringing players here.
The only problem I see that could potentially, be a major problem advance is the whole vaccine thing. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't really know how many people here have taken the vaccine. I've gotten both shots, so I'm okay. But I don't see myself traveling because, honestly, it's a bit expensive from here, then going there, and then staying over, coming back. It's a bit expensive for me. But
yeah,
I've gotten guys here, if they can, they will. But the only problem would be getting across the border because guys, that whole vaccine thing.
I don't think there's an issue. There's no issue getting across the border now in East Africa. It's pretty much open. There's no issue. Oh, I can tell you it's opened up entirely. There's no issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay then, because if everyone's gotten their shots and they can come, no problem. Because in the COD Mobile group, I saw guys sharing that. What? Nikon.
Mm-hmm.
Nikon's coming. So at least they know. Yeah. The news is passed around. Guys are in the know, so guys can prepare. That's saving up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now I wanted to know, what are your favorite titles aside from COD Mobile?
Don't even put titles. You're talking about PC even?
It's any user, console, PC, mobile.
But of course, at the top is mobile, and COD Mobile takes that to the top tier there. Mm-hmm. Then it's followed on PC by Watch Dogs. I'm not sure you know about Watch Dogs.
I know Watch Dogs. Oh, I know Watch Dogs.
Yeah, Watch Dogs comes in second. I love the Watch Dogs series. It's just the one series. Yeah, you get fully immersed. You get fully immersed in that world, man. It's just super cool. I love it. And I'm more of a sucker for Watch Dogs 1, the original character Aiden Pierce, and just that game was just epic. Then coming in third is the Batman Arkham series. You know the old Arkham series from Arkham's Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Origins, then Arkham Knight.
Telltale games
Not Telltale. Yes, the Arkham series, not a Telltale. The Telltale ones are okay for a story mode, like, you know, when you're looking for a story. But in terms of graphics and fight style, no thanks. The Arkham ones did it. They did it perfectly, man. They did it perfectly. And then the final one will take fourth place is Dishonored. Do you know Dishonored?
I know Dishonored, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, boy, you should.
Sitting on my drive here somewhere.
Dishonored is an epic game. Dishonored. Bleh, that one goes in fourth place for me. Those are among the games I feel like old. Oh, and Far Cry 3, to be specific.
Oh, yes.
Far Cry 3. Yes, Vaas is a mood and a half, man. That will go down as a top tier Far Cry game. The rest were more mediocre. And Far Cry 3 will just go take the top. Yeah. Those are my top ones.
He's looking for a remaster of Far Cry 3.
I mean, don't even need a remaster, man. I don't need a remaster. I'd play the whatever version is there, that one. As in, if they added Vaas, because I saw in this new one, that came out this year, this sixth one, at the end, there's a, I'll spoil this one for you. It will be a spoiler. At the end, there's a cutscene where there's somebody talking and you can hear the voice. It's Vaas. I think it was Vaas before he went to the island and he got, you know, all crazy and nuts because you can hear he starts with, you know, the definition of insanity. And it was a young version of him. It was a nice teaser they did there. He was talking as some guard on that Far Cry 6.
Oh, okay. I look forward to playing 6.
Anyway,
One of the only reasons I was interested in was because of that trailer. I think
Giancarlo.
That one was dope, but the season pass trailer. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. The season pass, they showed all the villains.
Yeah, you switch, and this time you're the villain.
Yeah, I remember. I saw that pass trailer. I don't know. I think that everyone would be looking forward to playing as Vaas.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the season pass. Well, for me, I'm looking forward to playing as Pagan.
Pagan was more of an eccentric Joker type villain. I didn't really enjoy his version, but he was not as bad as that guy who was running the cult. The cult guy, what was his name?
John Seed? Was it John or Joshua? Joshua Seed, John was one of his adopted.
That dude with the cult. His version just bored me to tears. But Pagan was better off than him. Pagan was a good villain. But of course, at the top, man. For Vaas. Vaas.
They did us dirty, but hey, just they gave us Far Cry 3. Expect Vaas to be the final character, and he's not.
He's not, right? As in, I was actually shocked that he was just a minor, as in he was just a second-tier villain of that meaning. Because Hoyt wasn't exactly that menacing for me.
He was over the top for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but Vaas was supposed to be the top-tier guy.
Anyway. Well, I'll get to Dishonored eventually when I'm done playing, I don't know, Dying Light, Tomb Raider, and Fallout, which I'm playing right now.
Hey, man, you have a long list, huh?
I'm just getting started. Okay, I think that's it for now. Right on time, actually. Yeah. All right, it's been fun chatting with you.
It's been real. It's been real, man. Thanks for having me, though.
No problem. So I'm looking forward to seeing your success in Nikon.
And you watch the streams a lot more often.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Thanks so much.
Send me the link. Okay, just send it in the chat. I'll check it out.
Oh, for the trailer for that game. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cheers, man.
All right.